CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to fascinating personalities who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here's Steve Klein.
Tom Peters said, "If a window of opportunity appears, don't pull down the shade." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who use their opportunities. Our first playmaker runs the nation's largest regional credit union trade association, while our next playmaker offers health care and tools for families to plan for the care of aging loved ones. With us today is a CEO that oversees over 600 credit unions, while our next CEO has a healthcare coach available for families. These great playmakers are Dick Ensweiler. Dick is CEO of Cornerstone Credit Union League, and Michael Walsh. Michael is CEO of Careloop, and we're going to begin today's show with Michael. Michael Walsh is CEO and co-founder of Careloop, which is a Dallas-based company that provides comprehensive services and tools such as assisted living, home health, skilled nursing, and hospice care that helps families plan for and manage the care of aging loved ones. Michael spent the first 5 years of his career with Protiviti, where his client work focused on health systems, outpatient clinics, and behavioral health programs. Founded in 2011, Careloop offers qualified health care, including a health care coach and online case management tools for easy accessibility and a complete solution. Well, Michael, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Great. Thanks for having me, Steve.
My first question is just the idea that came into being. Where did you get the idea for Careloop?
Well, I mean, our belief at the company is that nobody should go through this process alone. You know, there's a million caregivers out there, millions of these caregivers finding out every week that something has happened with mom or dad, and they've got to solve the puzzle, right? So what people usually do is they go online, they start searching for terms that they don't understand. They're going at this completely by themselves. So my co-founder and I, we kept having this vision of creating a communication loop between us, between facilities, doctors, caregivers, all these stakeholders in this process. So how do we create a product, a service that really brings all that together? So Careloop literally stands for Care and Resource Information Loop. So this idea that we can provide services, tools that bring all this together and really help families plan and manage all of these critical activities as you find out you're now a caregiver.
In some of the research I did about Careloop, you equate Careloop to a couple of other websites that are pretty popular. Talk about how that fits together.
Yeah, so I mean, we took some of the ideas behind Careloop from companies like Teladoc, based here in Dallas. So Teladoc is now publicly traded. They've brought this idea to the market that you can get on a video chat or a phone call with a doctor within minutes if you need to be able to talk about conditions that you're facing in your family. And they could write you a script and send it down to the pharmacy and bada bing, bada boom, you know, you got what you need. So we've taken that idea, that experience, and tried to apply it to a different problem, right? What do I do when I find out that mom, who's 1,000 miles away, just fell, she broke her hip, like, you don't know where to go, you don't know what to do. So if we can get you on a video chat or phone call with a licensed or certified coach, a healthcare coach, that can really help you prioritize your next steps and understand what to do and how to do it, that's powerful. That's really powerful.
I'm going to ask you about that healthcare coach in a moment, but there are a couple other websites I was thinking of, Expedia and Yelp.
Yeah.
How are you similar?
Yeah, so reversing back and rewinding back in time a bit to the origin of Careloop. So our initial idea actually was to create an Expedia or a hotels.com type of interface for consumers to shop for healthcare services like assisted living, like skilled nursing, home health, et cetera. What we found with that was that most of the people that came to use a product like that when they're shopping for these services, they didn't know what they were shopping for. Like, it's just so overwhelming when you find yourself in this moment. You don't know the difference between assisted living or nursing homes or who pays for them or what services they would provide mom or dad or why should I pick that? You know, you don't know.
Having been there, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, it's really, really confusing. So we expanded on that idea then to take ideas like Teladocs and other telemedicine companies to say that let's provide a concierge service along with this to hold your hand through the shopping experience. So if it's assisted living that you really are looking for, you don't have to do it alone. You can look with someone that actually understands what they're looking at.
Great idea. We're speaking with Michael Walsh. Michael is co-founder and CEO of Caroloop. And the website is caroloop.com, CAROOP.com. Let's talk about the healthcare coach and talk about the pricing on that, because you're getting a lot for the money. And this person is a partner now with you as you work with your aging parent.
Absolutely. I mean, so for less than a dollar a day, you're basically walking around with a concierge in your pocket that will answer any questions you have about, you know, the caregiving experience. So annual memberships for individuals, they start at $300 a year, which gives you unlimited on-demand access to your healthcare coach. So these healthcare coaches, we've got a staff of them here in Dallas. We've actually got one up in St. Louis as well. Their experiences range from anything from a nurse to a speech language pathologist to a certified assisted living manager. Really, we've got a breadth of experience levels that these coaches bring to the table. Many of them have 10, 20 years experience at least to be able to walk you through all this. And then we also have some physicians on our board as well that play a role in building this coaching process. So again, to have a professional with you, wouldn't you love to be able to just, again, press a button and jump on a phone call to say, what do I do? How do I do it? And have someone that actually understands, you know, how to get you from point A to point B?
Because in many cases, you have a lot of people coming at you, telling you what to do.
Too many people, in fact. You know, you've got friends, you've got physicians, you've got people at church. You know, everybody's going to go through this. Everybody has their own unique experience. But that's where the coach is going to really help you sort out what the plan is and what's customized to what you're going through.
One of the comments I say to people is beware of your experts.
Absolutely.
People think they are experts. And now you have an unbiased person for $25 a month.
Yeah.
To help you answer your questions.
We take no referral fees from any providers or any referral sources. We work for you. We work for our clients, our members. That's what we are going to the market and telling people. This is what you're getting.
Well, you're also offering Caroloop as a service to many companies. Talk about how that works.
Yeah, so what we see is that this is becoming a societal epidemic, right? I mean, everybody, you and I talked before the show about the, you know, the baby boomers and the age and this wave that's coming that's going to hit our country here in the next 10, 15 years. This is starting to become a distraction for people at work. We're finding more and more folks that are in that, you know, that age between maybe 40 and 55 where something has happened with mom or dad, and they're spending a lot of their time at work talking to the pharmacy or scheduling doctor's appointments or having to figure out who is going to take my mom food this evening. I mean, this is a real issue.
And I've seen the figures, and this is a large percentage of the population.
15 to 20%, I mean, based on some studies, are considered to be working caregivers. And these are people that are working full-time jobs and are also doing at least 20 hours a week of caregiving duties. So the way we approach the problem when we talk to a company is, this is going on here. You may not realize it's going on, but you're paying your people to be here and to be 100% productive. And I know you want to do the right thing for them, so offer this to them. Let this be a resource, a tool that allows them to maintain their productivity here on the job and solves their problems that they're having at home.
So you're actually helping the company on one side of it.
We believe
because
we
they're
are.
More productive.
Absolutely. You know, like you think about your key employees, your VPs, your directors, your executives. I mean, what's it worth to the company if this person is not on their game? Those are real dollars you could
and
actually calculate.
And here's a question comes up, because we were talking about that, and I was having problems with my mother specifically, and there's three of us in the family, myself and my brother and sister. Those three children work with the same healthcare coach?
Absolutely. I mean, we provide you a dedicated healthcare coach. Now, if we run into a situation with a family where we need a specific set of subject matter expertise from another coach on our staff, then we'll bring both coaches in. That's where the technology platform that we provide is really beneficial to a family. We can connect all of you together that on your mobile device, on your PC, you're having active communication and collaboration with all of these folks. I should also mention this platform that we've built that allows you to store all the important documents so that you, your brothers, and your sisters, if you needed access to mom's medical POA documentation for a hospital, you had it. You're walking around with it. It's all private, you know, secured and everything like that, so you don't have to worry about, you know, any of those things. But that's what we offer you.
Like, so you now walk around with it with your phone,
yeah,
your computer, and you have access to this. You have a lot of passion for this.
I do.
How did that happen? What caused it?
It's just such an underserved space. I think we think about health IT and digital health. You know, we think about some of the really cool stuff going on right now with wearables and mobile health and virtual reality. I don't think people give enough credit to how cool it is to come up with an idea, a product that helps people take care of their parents. Maybe it doesn't get the credit it deserves, but it really is a emerging space. It's something that all of us are going to talk a lot about in the next 10 or 20 years.
Now we have it in CareLoop, but let me ask you this question, because next month I believe you're going to be partnering with the Dallas Area Parkinsonism Society, if I said that correctly.
You did.
talk about what you're going to be doing.
Yeah, so we've partnered with DAPS is the short way of describing them, to offer them our services at a discount. You know, they've got 300 or 400 members here in Dallas. These are families that all have received a Parkinson's diagnosis. So they need a service like CareLoop, a product like CareLoop, to be able to understand the landscape in front of them and how to get through it. So we approached DAPS and we said, we love your mission. We love what you stand for. We want to play a role, some small role, in helping your members get through this. You know, would you let us at least offer them our services at a discount? And they were thrilled about the opportunity. You know, there's also a fair amount of educational opportunities we'll provide them as well, you know, around Medicare, around the all the stops along the transition of care, assisted living, nursing homes. You mentioned some of them. So we're thrilled about this, and we're looking to bring on more partnerships like this this year to support these types of groups.
This is a natural for you and those organizations too. So how has CareLoop grown since you started this, 5 years ago?
So in 2013, I should mention, we graduated from a program here in Dallas called Health Wildcatters. It's a seed stage accelerator program. They focus on helping early stage companies like CareLoop kind of find their message, their product, and get ready to either raise capital or whatever that next step is. So we graduated from this program, and since then, we've raised just shy of $900,000 in investor capital, almost all here in Dallas. These are just family offices, angel investors that have stepped up to say that we believe in your product. So with that capital, we've been able to improve upon the product, build a sales pipeline, start to work on forming some of these partnerships like DAPS, really focus on the employers and the membership groups. And so we're growing at a good clip. We're really excited about the rest of this year and all the things that 2016 are going to bring.
So if you do have an aging parent, you definitely need to check this out. So tell everybody one more time how they can find out about CareLoop.
Well, like you mentioned, go to our website, careloop.com. There's a phone number on there that you can call. If you have any questions at all, our staff, they're standing by. There's no obligation to call and talk to them about it. But careloop.com is the best place to start. We'd be happy to help any way we can.
It's also on our website, playmakerstalkshow.com. Well, Michael, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show. You are a playmaker. Michael Walsh is the CEO, co-founder of CareLoop. And again, it's careloop.com. Don't go away. We have more. We are going to speak with the CEO of Cornerstone Credit Union League. His name is Dick Ensweiler. We'll be back with Dick right after this.
Wipe Out Kids Cancer is a Dallas-based nonprofit organization founded in 1980 dedicated to raising awareness and funding for pediatric cancer research on a national basis. Wipe Out Kids Cancer has raised over $4 million in the crusade against pediatric cancer and spent over 30 years developing programs to not only fight childhood cancer, but to also provide hope and support to kids and families battling cancer. Our mission is to work relentlessly for a day when children are living cancer-free. You can help make a difference. Go to WOKC.org to donate or volunteer. That's WOKC.org.
Operation Kindness is the original and largest no-kill animal shelter in North Texas, having saved more than 80,000 cats and dogs over almost 40 years. On a day-to-day basis, Operation Kindness cares for approximately 300 cats and dogs, with another 150 in foster homes. In the past 12 months, more than 4,200 homeless cats and dogs have received medical care, clean shelter, nutritious food, and playtime until they were adopted into a new forever home. Go to OperationKindness.org to adopt or foster a dog or cat. Donate or volunteer. That's OperationKindness.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This segment, We're going to speak with the CEO of the Cornerstone Credit Union League. His name is Dick Ensweiler. He's also in charge of the Cornerstone Credit Union Foundation and Credit Union Resources. Dick is a dedicated credit union enthusiast who has spent his entire professional career in the credit union movement. Now, the Cornerstone Credit Union League is the nation's largest regional credit union trade association, serving more than 500 credit unions in Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. Cornerstone exists to advance the success of credit unions in the region through legislative and grassroots advocacy, regulatory and compliance support, training, educational and networking opportunities, and essential communications related to the news and information affecting the credit union industry. Prior to joining the Texas Credit Union League in 1995, Dick served as Senior Vice President of Corporate Relations at CUNA Mutual Group. He began by working at a credit union. From there, he served as president of the Minnesota League and then president of the Illinois Credit Union League and its affiliates. Well, with all that, Dick, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate
Apparently,
it.
You know no better. You just know credit unions. So how did you get in the credit union business?
Like so many people, we discovered it by accident. I was a freshman in college, just completed my freshman year, and needed a summer job. And there was an ad for a teller for a credit union. I was a business major. I thought finance was where I might end up, and so I applied for the job, and I was hired as a teller.
And you've stayed with credit unions all this time.
So the boss and I hit it off pretty good. He said, when you're done with college and you're done with the military, come on back. I'll have a job for you. So I went back, and he looked around. And he said, see those three guys over there? I said, yeah. He said, they're ahead of you, and you'll never get past them. They're too old. They're still too entrenched here. So he said, I'm going to start a special management training program for you. It'll be the only one, but I want you in this business, and it'll last 2 years. In 2 years, you're out the door. So 18 months later, the Harley-Davidson Credit Union treasurer manager's job opened up. I applied, and I guess because I was cheapest, I became the treasurer manager of the Harley-Davidson Credit Union, and I was hooked ever since.
Well, you've been with credit unions for a long time, and we were talking just before we went back on the air again with a segment that there is a different feel when you walk into a credit union. Talk about how the culture is different with credit unions.
It really is different because credit unions are cooperatives. As cooperatives, everybody that belongs owns the place. So the employees know they're not doing business every day to maximize each transaction for a shareholder they've never met that might not even live in the area. A credit union understands they're there to help that member best use their limited financial resources. So every transaction, every interaction is an opportunity to make life a little bit better for that member. That's your total focus. And so I think that translates into atmosphere.
We talked about that because prior to moving here, I was a member of a credit union and joining credit when I came to the Dallas area. And it's breath of fresh air when you walk into a credit union compared to some banks. Not all banks,
sure,
but compared to some banks. Well, you're also running two other pieces of Cornerstone, and that's first one is Credit Union Resources. What is that, and what do you provide?
So credit unions look to us for the things you mentioned in the intro, all the legislative and advocacy and PR things, but they also need to buy products in order to run their businesses. And oftentimes they come to us saying, we don't necessarily have the resources or the time to sift through the product offerings. Tell us which might be best for us. So we'll work with them, we'll talk to them about their needs, and we know the vendors, we know the providers, we know the partners in the credit union space, and we help them with those recommendations. So it's providing them with products that they buy as opposed to services they get from dues from us.
And they probably pay less for those products, too.
Normally, that's the case.
Because
we usually have
that.
A good relationship, and they know that we'll go to bat for them. We can be an ombudsman for the credit union.
How about the Cornerstone Credit Union Foundation? What do you do there?
Primarily, we help with financial education. We believe that a space that credit unions should own is helping members with the best use of their financial resources. So we do a lot in the way of helping them come up with the tools to serve their members with financial education. We have helped introduce a law into the state of Texas that would mandate there be financial education in schools. We provide teachers with training. We provide credit union marketers to be able to go into the credit unions, and into the schools and train. So it's a lot of financial education. A secondary reason is for grants and scholarships so that credit union employees and volunteers can get additional education. And then the third reason is in disaster relief. If, in fact, there's a disaster, we marshal the resources and help the employees of those credit unions that might have suffered.
My question is, are there credit unions that are not part of Cornerstone?
Yes, there are a few.
Why?
It's frustrating. I don't know why. They don't understand. But we talk to them regularly, and we usually at least maintain our affiliation. Each year we probably get a little more back as they understand the need to join together. We compete in the legislature and in Congress, unfortunately, with the banks who want to see us not grow any bigger, do any better. They feel we're invading space that's theirs. So they are constantly trying to do things to suppress our growth. We don't have the money they do, so we have to band together. One of the cooperative principles is as cooperatives cooperate, and so we join together to get things done on behalf of all credit unions. So most of them understand that and appreciate it. Others just kind of ride along and take advantage of it.
We're speaking with Dick Ensweiler. Dick is the CEO of Cornerstone Credit Union League, and you can find them on the internet, cornerstoneleague.coop for cooperative. Without naming names, in the DFW area, how many credit unions are there?
There is probably 85 to 90 in the DFW
area. That's a lot of credit unions.
Big space.
Sure, there's some smaller ones, too.
Oh, yes. Some are very big, some are very small. And that's one of the challenges of an association or a league like ours, providing services that are more elementary and needed on a day-to-day basis, and then helping people get into the mobile technology space or others, you know, the products and services that are so new and today to the members.
Well, Cornerstone began 3 years ago, or almost 3 years ago, right, when the Texas Credit Union League, was it a merger with Arkansas and Oklahoma? Talk about that.
It was a merger. Especially in Oklahoma, they realized that there were a shrinking number of credit unions, and they really didn't have the resources to sustain an association to provide all the services that credit unions really should have. So they took the initiative and invited a number of leagues around them to sit at the table and say, wouldn't we be better together? Wouldn't we be stronger together? And in the end, Texas and Arkansas agreed, and so the three of us came together, and we merged to one organization that is now Cornerstone.
Where you moved from CEO from the Texas Credit Union League to CEO of Cornerstone, was that because Texas was the largest and most effective?
I don't know about most effective, but it was certainly the
and
largest.
And you were also the best CEO?
There you go. Now you got it. Now, we were far and away the biggest organization, and so the resources that we have today were primarily those in Texas. But interestingly enough, we have left legislative and PR offices in each of the three state capitals so that we can do the effective lobbying with the legislators and the regulators. But the nerve center is still here in Dallas.
Well, with all three states together, you can do so much. Your buying power, if nothing else,
exactly,
is much greater than it ever was before, right, too. You're transitioning over the next couple of years. What challenges do you leave to your successor next year?
So the frustrations yet in Congress. We know there are things that we could get done to enhance the ability of credit unions to serve their members. But the combination of the pressure that banks put on us to maybe not get those things done, but also with the Congress being so moribund these days, they just can't get together. Public policy is not the issue anymore. It's party policy. And so it's difficult to get things done. I wish we could get more done and leave a cleaner space for the next person. That would be one thing. Secondly, just making sure that credit unions are positioned as well as they can be for all of the new technology, for all of the ways they can be serving members, and then in that process, differentiating them so that feeling is still there, even though they're dealing maybe more remotely. So I'd like to keep finding ways to help credit unions own that space of this is still your place, this is still a cooperative. And too often, as they look bigger and provide different services, it's not as easy to grasp that feeling that a credit union really is special. So I'd love to find more ways to set credit unions up in that space better.
With all that's left to do, that's job security for whoever sits in that seat. So what's next for you?
Oh, lots of things. First of all, I've got three grandchildren. They're 5, 7, and 9. They're at a perfect age that I should spend some time with them. Unfortunately, I'm a bit of a workaholic, and I don't see them near as often as I should, even though they live 3 miles from us. So I'm going to do a whole lot more. Two are boys, and you know, there's baseball to teach, and there's footballs to throw, and I love to do that. We also live on Lake Louisville, and there's a whole lot of fish getting too old in that lake. They got to be pulled out of there. And my handicap in golf is awful. And so those are three of my priorities. Plus, Judy and I love to travel, and we get an opportunity once in a while to go into developing countries and help with the World Council with credit unions and the kind of things that they do. They bring credit union service to people, and I think we'll probably be called on to do that a little bit as volunteers.
So you won't be that far away from the Credit Union League.
Yeah, probably not.
Well, one more time, because we talked about this before. Let's go back to credit unions. This is your passion, because this is all you know. This is all you've done.
Right.
Why should individuals and companies be a part of a credit union?
Credit unions, again, have only one reason to be, and that's to serve the members. So as we look at bringing on programs and products and establishing the way we do business, it's all about what benefits the members. There's no profit motive. We have to operate profitably, but there's no big, we've got to get enough money to pay the shareholders enough to keep an interest in the organization. As long as we're operating profitably, we can spend more time and more money providing services to the members. It's just when you're caught in that spirit, it's easy to get up and go to work every day. It's easy to go out and talk to credit unions about the things that they can be doing better or giving them ideas on how we can work closer together. It's easy to catch that passion. They know that every day they're only job is to make the lives of their members better. It's a great business.
As the quotation I heard one time, which I'll probably not hit correctly, if you have a job that you love, you don't work a day in your life.
That's the way I feel.
And that's been, I guess, the theme for both of our guests today. Well, Dick, tell everybody one more time how they can find out more about Cornerstone.
So go to www.cornerstoneleague.coop, and we have a whole website of information we're doing today and what credit unions are all about.
And will that lead people to potentially finding about credit unions?
And there's another website I'm trying to recall right now. It'll come to me in a minute. But yes, but it will. It'll take you to that website it's called asmarterchoice.com. And you go to asmarterchoice.com, and it identifies credit unions that not only in your area, but with the qualifiers you put in that you qualify for membership in. So that's a great way to find a credit union anywhere in the U.S.
Dick, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Another
thank
great
you.
Playmaker. We started the show with Michael Walsh. Michael, is CEO of Careloop. And we just talked to Dick Ensweiler. Dick is CEO of Cornerstone Credit Union League. Thank you very much for joining us. This has been a terrific show. It's been great having both our guests on the show. And join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting Playmakers.